Chandramayakidan, Jamunamayakidan, Shimati Tosu Devichija, Pakti Devichija, Shyamadeva Pakshavindakija, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the Lord Shri Shishi Guru and Gauranga, glory to Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 12, birth of Emperor Parikshit, and today's text is 22. Can't find it. Sure, that makes perfect sense. Well, I'll start with word for word. I'll do word for word first. Maybe by the time you come back, you'll get it. Nagendra Iva Vikranto Vikranto. Go ahead. Okay. Nishevyo Himavan Iva Titikshur Vasudevaso Sahishnu Hitara Iva. Not yet. I'll just read it. I can try one. Oh, you can read from there. Okay. Nigendra Iva Vikranto. Nishevyo Himabhaniva Titikshur Vasudevaso Sahishnu Pitaraviva Nagendra Iva Vikranto Nishevyo Himabhaniva Picture of us who gave us all. The Vishnu Pitara Viva. Please chant. Nagendra Iva Vikranto. Nishevyo Himavaniva. The picture of Vasudevaso Sahishnu Pitaraviva Nagendra Iva Vikranto Nisevyo Himavaniva The picture of Vasudevaso Sahishnu Pitara Viva Nagendra Iva Vikranto Nisevyo Himavaniva Titiksha Vasudevaso Sahishnu Pitaraviva Megendraha, the lion, Eva, light, Vikranta, powerful, Nishevya, worthy of taking shelter, Himavan, the Himalaya mountains, Eva, light, Titikshu, forbearance, Vasudha Iva, like the earth. Asao, like the, oh, I'm sorry, the child. Sahishnu, tolerant. Pitarao, parents. Iva, like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This child will be as strong as a lion and as worthy a shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. Can we repeat phrase by phrase? We used to do that. Okay. This child will be as strong as a lion. And as worthy a shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth, and as tolerant as his parents. Srila Prabhupada's purport. One is compared to the lion when one is very strong in chasing an enemy. One should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. The lion never fails in the chase of an animal. Similarly, the head of the state should never fail in chasing an enemy. The Himalaya mountains are famous for all richness. There are innumerable caves to live in, numberless trees of good fruits to eat, good springs to drink water from, and profuse drugs and minerals to cure diseases. Any man who is not materially prosperous can take shelter of these great mountains, and he will be provided with everything required. Both the materialist and the spiritualist can take advantage of the great shelter of the Himalayas. On the surface of the earth, there are so many disturbances caused by the inhabitants. In the modern age, the people have begun to detonate atomic weapons on the surface of the earth. And still, the earth is forbearing to the inhabitants, like a mother who excuses a little child. Parents are always tolerant to children for all sorts of mischievous acts. An ideal king may be possessed of all these good qualities, and the child Parikshit is foretold to have all these qualities in perfection. Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Vadachi Svapadantikam Panchakopa Taru Vyaistha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, thank you all that are actually physically here. It would be very difficult to speak to an empty room. Even though Srila Prabhupada's here, I would be most embarrassed to speak only to him. So, and thank you for all that are listening online or may listen in the future. Because to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam is our great, great good fortune. We all know in this chapter, the sages are responding to Maharaj Yudhisthira's concern. What will this child be like? Maharaj Parikshit has been saved in the womb by Lord Krishna, who personally manifested to him to save him from the Brahmastra that Ashwatthama had sent, hoping to annihilate the very last of the Kuru Pandava dynasty. But so we've been hearing along so many wonderful classes. After yesterday, I was listening to Madhumati's class, and it was so well researched. I'm like, oh my God, you know, everybody's different. I did the best I could to come up with things to say. But I also thought it was wonderful that the verse I was given begins with Prabhupada's statement that one should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. So we know for a king, as he says here, the lion never fails in the chase of an animal. Similarly, the head of the state should never fail in chasing an enemy. So the Bhagavatam begins with Maharaj Prichit chastising the personality of Kali when he comes upon him. Of course, now he's in the womb, but he'll be the king who chastises the personality of Kali for beating the bull and seeing the bull and the cow with tears in their eyes, the bull standing on one leg instead of four, the other three having already been beaten heavily with Kali's stick. And so Maharaj Prichit, he's a very strong ruler. And we've been reassured of that. This is another reassurance. But he's also a lamb at home. Even Kali took shelter of him and said, you know, please give me some place. And he said, okay, you can then, because a Kshatriya king, the codes of conduct are if someone takes shelter of you, you have to give them shelter. So was it Vibhishan who took shelter of Lord Ram, the brother of Ravana? But he took shelter of Ram and Ram gave him shelter. So here is the, even when the personality of Kali asked for shelter, Maharaj Prichit said, all right then, I won't kill you. But you can go wherever these sinful activities are performed. Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. So the personality of Kali said, well, there's no place like that here in your kingdom. Because you rule with such a strong arm and so righteous in your own conduct that people want to follow. So is there somewhere else you can give me? Okay, you go wherever gold is hoarded. Because when gold is hoarded, these things will come. Even we see the sons of Kuvera, Nalikuvara and Manigriva. Because they were the sons of the king of heaven, they had so much opulences. I mean, not the king of heaven, but the treasurer of the demigods, Kuvera. So they had so much opulence, and because they had so much opulence, the tendency is you become a little bit puffed up and proud because you can buy whatever you want. They were in the water sporting naked with young girls, also naked. You know, this is not at all a Vedic civilization. When the sage Narada happened to pass by, the girls had natural modesty. They covered themselves. But the boys were so intoxicated, both on whatever soma ras they were taking and with their puffed up conception of themselves as the enjoyers. Why bother covering ourselves? We're as good as Narada. So he cursed them. And we know the story. They became these twin Arjuna trees who also got blessed by Narada that in your future life, in some point in the future, Lord Krishna will personally deliver you. And he did, and that's wonderful pastime that we'll sing about every day in the month of Kartik. But this one should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase is also something that Srila Prabhupada told particularly, my impression it was Mula Prakriti who asked the question, But in any case, it was some book distributor lady who, when Prabhupada was speaking about anyway, they were in darshan, and she asked, you know, in order to approach people in the street, in the parking lots, in the airport, wherever we meet them, we have to be very bold to go right up to people and try to sell them a book, give them this knowledge. But then, you know, and even the ladies, young girls, they were going up to men asking, you know, excuse me, sir, you from around here? And starting a conversation. And then when they were in the temple, you know, it was like, keep your head down, keep your head covered. And so that was the nature of her question. And Prabhupada said to her, you should be like a lion in the chase and a lamb at home. So this is actually good for all of us. We don't have to be falsely humble. But we should actually be humble and gentle in our dealings with devotees and respectful with everyone. But we may overcome if someone has natural shyness. I didn't come out like that. But sometimes it occurs. But if someone has natural shyness, they still have to try to overcome it enough to be able to approach someone and tell them about Krishna. Just like you were reading as I was just pulling in the parking lot, you know, that Prabhupada told the devotees, don't worry, if you don't know philosophy, it's not necessary, just tell people. Ever since I started chanting Hare Krishna, I'm so much happier than I was before. It makes me happy. And if they feel that you are happy, they're gonna want it too. You know, this is the, or if they don't consciously think, oh, I want to be like them. Many devotees tell, oh, I used to cross to the other side of the street because who wants to wear orange bed sheets and have a men wearing skirts, all these things that people couldn't relate to. But there was something attractive still. So I was also thinking how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said on one of his Vyas Puja day, I think it was in a talk I read, that people may wonder, who is this arrogant person sitting up on the raised seat and receiving so much homage from people? Oh, what a proud person, like a zoo animal. He's thinking himself so important. And he said, but Lord Chaitanya has given this instruction, by my command, be guru and save the people of this land. So he said, I am prepared to become the most arrogant in the service of my spiritual master. So this morning I was reading, I'm reading in third canto at home, Lord Kapila's teachings to Devahuti. And it just so happened the verses that I read one verse this morning, and in the purport, it was Bhagavatam 3:28-41. In the purport, Prabhupada said, everything is simultaneously one with and different from everything else. And he said in these two verses, the preceding 40 and 41, all four theses of the Vaishnava philosophy are explained, you know, like in nutshell form. And it was the fire and smoke and heat, they're together, but they're different. And so he was explaining how the individual soul is different from the supreme soul, and yet the same. And the fire and the smoke, they're inseparable. The heat is inseparable. But you can't say that the heat is the fire, and you certainly can't say that the smoke is the fire. I think the smoke was compared to the material world and the heat to the living entities. But but in any case, it's like, yes, we are the same as Krishna, We are the same as the Supreme. There's nothing that exists that's outside of his, that didn't come from Krishna. And yet, what all living beings are in me, but I am not in them. He is, but he isn't. And so even the lion and the lamb can be of the same nature. It's just what's, what is it? That, to become an expert judge of time and circumstance and know when to speak strongly or when to be bold and when to simply listen. Like we were hearing the other day how Lord Chaitanya simply sat and listened to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, right? For 7 days. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the leading Mayavad impersonalist at the time, and you know, such a scholar. And he saw this young sannyasi, so handsome, so attractive, he thought, you've taken sannyas too young. I mean, we know it can happen. People take sannyas too young and become swayed by all the adoration, and then next thing you know, grihastha life. But so he was concerned for Lord Chaitanya. He was attracted, but he was concerned for him. And please let me speak to you philosophy so you become fixed in your sannyas vows. And Lord Chaitanya, he simply sat and listened and didn't say a thing for 7 days. So we may think, well, that's an odd way to preach, not to say anything at all. But in that case, it worked. After he sat listening for 7 days, the Bhattacharya asked him, have you understood anything at all? And he said, oh yes, the scriptures you spoke, the Srimad Bhagavatam was perfectly clear to me, but your explanations were not clear at all. What? So then, well, let me hear how you understand them. And Lord Chaitanya spoke in such a way that the Bhattacharya was convinced and surrendered and became his follower, bringing, of course, so many of his followers along for the ride. But sometimes these quarrels that appear some seemingly out of nowhere on the internet, sometimes I think, oh, I'll say something, I'll correct someone's misunderstanding. But sometimes I think, there was a particular thing not too long ago that made me remember Srila Prabhupada's, a description of Srila Prabhupada's preaching in San Francisco. Of course, that wasn't one of the things I looked up on, just doing from memory, but the person who was there observing said that Srila Prabhupada or Swamiji had a genius because in San Francisco at that time, it was, if somebody was having like a religious vision and thinking themselves God, everybody else kind of gave them so much honor and respect. So sometimes it would happen that the room would be full of people and a person who was high on LSD would come and say something outrageous like, I am God, right now I'm higher than you, or something like that. And the energy of the room would be with that person. And this person was describing that he saw time and again Srila Prabhupada had a way of speaking to the person so that it didn't, it wasn't like an attack. It didn't destroy him, but he would turn the energy of the room around. So it kind of became lighthearted, or then he would be seen, it was like a joke, but not at the other person's expense in a painful way. I mean, what expertise? You know, so I was remembering that and thinking, you know, this, because on the internet, somebody had said a very outrageous statement, and I saw it in the middle of the night. I can't sleep. A lot of times I wake up at the weirdest times. So, you know, then I saw this. But who had so far responded? They were all agreeing with this outrageous statement. And I'm like, I don't think I want to say anything right now, right there. But later I prayed on it and put something in such a way that it left me feeling like I didn't just, what is it? Silence implies consent. That's another aspect. But you try to pray to Krishna to understand how to give the message in such a way that it will be actually received. Yeah, another thought that came to me about the lion and the lamb was our friend Professor Thomas Hopkins recently left his body. He was one of the people featured in that book, Shivananda put together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He had interviews with from the Radharaman Temple, Padmanabha Goswami. Yeah, interviews with different scholars. Each one was its own chapter. And very favorably, it was a scholarly appreciation from various voices of the Hare Krishna movement. So anyway, Thomas Hopkins had told in there how he was himself a Vaishnav scholar of Vaishnavism. And when he first heard, oh, there's somebody preaching this philosophy on the Lower East Side, he went to check it out, and he first met the devotees and thought, that's so odd. They don't seem to know very much at all. And yet they're so enthusiastic. And they seem so dedicated. But when I talk about Lord Chaitanya or the philosophy, they're like, what? But about his third visit, Srila Prabhupada was also there, and then it all came together. Why they had such faith, why they had such dedication, he had confidence that they would learn, because in Prabhupada's presence, oh, he knows everything, way more than me. And but anyway, so he said, I've heard him commented that in interreligious dialogues, there tend to be sometimes the lumpers and the choppers. And the lumpers are the ones that, when they're speaking to a person from another faith, they lump everything together, basically looking for the similarities. And then there are the choppers. And unfortunately, it's not that there isn't a time to chop. Prabhupada said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he was known for his chopping technique. He would go right up to a Mayavadi on the street, why are you misleading the people? And even some of his disciples thought he was speaking too strongly, but he didn't budge. So there's... a time to lump and a time to chop. And it would behoove us to remember always to be respectful. I was reminded last night, Varuna Prabhu mentioned, to be respectful to everyone. It's so important. And I thought, yeah, it's such an easy thing to say, theoretically. But when somebody is behaving crudely, or they have a different opinion than you on some issue that seems very important, to keep that attitude of respect, that this is a living being, this is, most of the people I associate with are devotees, so this is a devotee, but even if not a devotee, to see that person with respect and know that Krishna is situated in their heart. He's in the heart, what is it, the humble sage by virtue of true knowledge sees with equal vision, the learned and gentle brahmana, the elephant, the dog, and even the dog eater, you know. So we see that Krishna's in the heart of everyone, and so we should treat everyone with respect. And actually, when you think about how Prabhupada affected people, even when he disagreed with somebody, and even when he argued with them on philosophical points, if they were challenging, usually it was like Indian people that have very strong impersonalist ideas. So Prabhupada was defending Krishna, the person, his worshipable Lord. He could speak very strongly. But like people who were at Dr. Mishra's ashram, they observed the two would sometimes raise their voices and speak very strongly, but afterwards they would sit down together and have prasadam and be very friendly. Kind of like how we read at the Battle of Kurukshetra in the evening, you could go and ask, what was it, Krishna, Arjuna went, can you, and Duryodhana is welcoming him, yes, what would you want me to give you? And he said, just those weapons, those five arrows that you had set aside. Oh, okay. So, but in the daytime, they were fighting ferociously, hoping to annihilate the whole dynasty. So, let's see, did I have any? Oh, yeah, in the purport also, so that was some thoughts about the lamb at home and the lion in the chase. But also how Prabhupada said everything is simultaneously one with and different from everything else. This part about the describing that Maharaj Pritchett will be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. So he's describing on the surface of the earth there are so many disturbances caused by the inhabitants. In the modern age, the people have begun to detonate atomic weapons on the surface of the earth, and still the earth is forbearing to the inhabitants. So Srila Prabhupada wrote this in the 70s. And now there's so many other ways that the earth is being disturbed, like with this fracking, and so the digging for oil that's been there. He actually said that the demons will upset the balance of the earth by digging for oil like that. So so it also made me think, and I can come with ideas, but it will take a younger generation but like the ecological movement, there is a way that devotees can keep these ideas in mind, that the king's duty or the leader's duty is to protect the earth itself. So we can approach people. I think it was Vidyananda or someone I was just hearing recently, maybe on one of these online seminars, I forget. But how if we have the Bhagavatam philosophy strongly within us, we should be able to look at any branch of society and see how Krishna consciousness can be relevant there. And John B. Harrison's father, Kripamoya, he was saying, we've missed this chance, we've missed that chance, but all these chances are actually still there. We may not have been in there. But there's so many ways that if we become mature ourselves, we should be able to present to people and how Krishna consciousness can, as Prabhupada said, solve all the problems of the world. So it's that's another place to look for the common threads, that what we have in common. See how Krishna is involved in that respect. We know in Krishna book when he and Balaram would walk in the forest, Krishna would say to Balaram, oh, look how these trees are bending down to offer you everything. It's like that. And Lord Chaitanya said to become tolerant like a tree. The tree, even though it's drying up and dying, it doesn't ask anyone for water. It's always giving fruits and flowers, giving shelter. So the idea of protecting the trees, the forests, the earth, the planet is actually more or less being raped by human society. And it's growing, that destructive nature is growing so fast that it's kind of like the house is on fire. Prabhupada said in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, I must admit my frailties in presenting this literature. English isn't my first language, but just as the inmates of a house that's on fire will understand, if they go out and try to say, even if the people outside speak a different language, they'll understand. And so presenting these truths of the Bhagavatam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're his servants. We're like him, and yet we're different from him. The whole material world, yes, it's beautiful because it's his energy. It is of spiritual nature, but it's separated. You know, so it's material and temporary, like that. So in so many ways, the more we become deeply learned, Krishna will give us the intelligence how to speak to people and understand where they're coming from, and then be able to give them Krishna in that in the most appropriate way for them. So I'm just going to stop Hare Krishna time giving the Prabhu and see if anybody has comments or questions or anything to share. We couldn't get it up here. Okay. Is there a microphone? Okay. Yeah, that might have been just we go first.
Okay. Yeah, I can see you. Thank you. Thank you very much for the wonderful class. I had a question. You mentioned that no matter what it is, no matter what the philosophy somebody is presenting, or what, or we may disagree or whatever, that we should be respectful. Could you elaborate more what that means to be respectful? Because let's say the philosophy that the person might be expressing is impersonalist philosophy, or which is offensive in one can say. And we saw how Prabhupada reacted to that. Where even he kicked out his very intimate disciple. So but what does it mean to be respectful? Could you elaborate on that?
What came to my mind as you were asking the question is actually a quote from Lord Jesus Christ, where he says that he was telling his followers, we should hate the sin, but love the sinner. So, yes, it's very important to uphold the philosophy, and yet, mostly my experience in matters like this is stories from like the early days of neophyte devotees trying to present Krishna consciousness with all enthusiasm, as Thomas Hopkins was observing. But like, for example, if someone's an impersonalist, they may not actually be a Mayavadi. They may simply only be as advanced as having understood the impersonal concept of God. So if we can acknowledge that, yes, the Brahman, we also accept Brahman as spiritual energy, more first start with the similarities find points that we have in common, and then after, and give them some prasadam, something to keep them a little open or soft, and then bring them to understand Vedanti tattva vidat tattva yajjyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabjate. So yes, the Brahman, the oneness, the white light, is a spiritual entity. It's just not the supreme. It's the effulgence of the supreme person. So, but if somebody's argumentative, you may have to, I mean, I'm not often in those kind, I'm not really ever in those kind of situations now. I'm not fit to advise, but like I see within the world in general, and even the Society of Devotees, not even on philosophical points, but even on the vaccine, or who you're going to vote for, it's like we become so addicted to our own idea that we cannot even see that this person is also a soul, also on the path. I mean, I'm talking about within devotees. It's like there's somehow or another respect. You may not agree, but you don't hate that person. This is our, I see this, you know, can't even talk to this person anymore. Don't want to be near them because they have a different opinion. But this is, I think, very short-sighted. As far as keeping the respect, it may have to be from a distance sometimes. And that, what is discretion is the better part of valor. If you can understand, okay, so this person, they're so fixed in their opinion, which is very different from mine, that for me to go up to them, I'm not talking about Mayavad philosophy. I'm just saying, when we have it, you know, to go up and start, if you know it's just going to be, no, you know, but try to pray for the insight and the mercy how to be guided, when to be like a lion and when to be like a lamb.
Thank you. Okay. Right. So I'm going to read the comment here. This is Mula Maharishna Priya. No one is monitoring this. Okay. Sridhar Muni Prabhu. I have to ask because Runa told me so. As perverse reference in class 5.18 states we should see a brahmana, a cow, and a dog with equal vision. So if a dog visits the temple, how should we see with equal vision like we do with a human temple devotee? That's Titiri Muni Prabhu for you.
Oh, Titiri Muni Prabhu, that's such a nice question. I was actually thinking about you and your dog this morning, or dogs, I don't know whether you have more than one. But how, yes, a humble sage sees that within the soul of a dog, within the dog is a soul. That soul is actually the same as my soul. I even see that when I see the little teeny tiny ants on my altar. And I'm like, oh Krishna, I can't stand that they're there. And I'll move them aside, and they're so little, but just by moving them aside, I'm many times annihilating them. But I always tell them Hare Krishna, because I know there's a soul in there that's actually the same as my soul. But in the body of an ant, or in the body of a dog, actually, Prabhupada said that was it in reference to the fall of the jiva? I think it was. But that it's like a dog comes into the temple room. You don't go, how'd the dog get in here? You just take the dog out of the room. And And so it, like how we got here is really irrelevant, but how to get out is by serving the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, loving Krishna, serving the spiritual master, following the rules. You do what you need to do to get out. Don't waste energy arguing about how we got here or how the dog got here, but the dog belongs outside of the temple room. And we can give them prasadam, and we can let them sit near us when we're chanting Hare Krishna, and we can know that they'll get a human birth next life. In fact, what I remembered was an anecdote I heard that happened in Los Angeles. There was apparently some, this was long, long in the 70s, I think, there was some street dog that used to come, and they, it maybe just came one day, this very skinny, scrawny little dog came, and the devotee felt sorry for it, and I don't know whether they gave it Mahaprasadam or if it went to the trash can outside where the devotees had unfortunately nicked the prasad. Somehow or another, he got all this, he just gorged himself on Mahaprasad, and it had been so skinny that he ended up leaving his body. Yeah, but then what next? Human life. You know, so, and we of course know Sivananda Sena. You know, there's the story of Maharaj Yudhisthira when his father actually disguised himself as a dog and followed along. And when it was time, all the other brothers had passed away and this dog was still following. And then the chariot came down from heaven and come on, all your brothers are gone, you can come too. Well, yeah, come on, my dog. No dogs in heaven. But he's been so loyal, he's been so faithful, he's been with me all along. No dogs in heaven. If he can't go, I'm not going. And so then they revealed that actually, well, it was Dharmaraj testing. I wanted to see what is your nature. You value the loyalty so much, you won't even go to heaven if you can't bring your companion, your faithful companion. So. Pass the test. Is there anything else? That's it? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.